over the next several Sundays, I will be sharing with you images of the church in the New Testament. And of course, you will always find some reference to the Old Testament, because what is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New. And this morning we begin the first in that series of images of the church. And I want to suggest to you that the reason for this is because we are moving to the end of one era and we're moving into a new one. And perhaps nothing is more important for us than to know just who we are. Now that sounds almost playful. It reminds me of one of the Cosby shows way back when I was watching it, and one of the girls brought her boyfriend home. And so the father in the home looked the boy over, had some thoughts, asking him a few leading questions. Someday I will tell you the questions I had for James. And he got around by asking him, "Are you going to college?" "No." "Are you going to university?" "No." "What are you going to do with your life?" he said. He said, I'm going to travel across Europe to try and find myself." "What did you say?" "He said, I'm going to travel across Europe and try to find myself." "He said, you mean to tell me that my daughter has brought a man home who doesn't know who he is?" That sounds, my friends, humorous. But I want to suggest to you this morning that somehow the church doesn't know who it is. We have lost our identity. And like that young man, we are trying to travel all over the place, trying to find ourselves. And the Bible has different images that it uses to help us to understand just who we really are, and what we really are, and why we are here. This morning we begin with the image of the body. And I invite your attention to two texts, very brief texts. One is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Looking at verse 18 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 18, and verse 27. This is one of the texts that deals with the image of the body as an image of the church. Verse 18, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desires," or as the King James translation says, "just as he pleases," as it pleases him. Look at verse 27. "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." Now you are Christ's body and members individually of it. If you would ask anyone to give you the definition of the church, perhaps they will give you this definition. How about that? That's better? Okay, thank you. Sorry, I thought I turned it on. I got new glasses and I can't see any better. I looked down to see if it was on the right side and I thought it was. Thank you, Peter. You might give the definition like the definition found in a state in the Union south of us when they were giving the definition of what the church is. And this is their definition of the church. I thought you might like to know. "The church is a place devoted to religious worship and social gatherings such as bingo." That's what it says. "Such as bingo games, but excluding private schools." I thought of Colette when I read that. The church is a place devoted to religious worship, education, and social gatherings such as bingo games, but excluding private school. You would know that's an American definition of the church. But it is not far removed, my friends, from what we were thinking about or what we're thinking about. If your neighbors had stopped you this morning on your way out and said to you, "Where are you going?" your answer would be, "I'm going to church." And so the church is seen as a place where people do things. In the Bible, the church is seen as a body through which Christ lives. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Let's look at the design of the body, the makeup of it. But it is a living thing. It is something that has real life. It is not a location, it is not a place. And sometimes we say that. I belong to the Presbyterian Church. I get asked this question all the time. What church do you belong to? And then because the missionary church is not well known, I go from Dan to Beersheba trying to find out some definition that I can give for missionary church. You're laughing because you've been there. I have gone from because people's church is on TV, it's something like people's church. Or because Baptist is known, it's something like Baptist. Or because Brethren is not, you know, and all of a sudden you find yourself going all over the place trying to say what the missionary church is. Well, what is the missionary church? The missionary church is a part of the body of Christ. It is a part of that living organism. That living thing that really has life and breath and is full of the energy that it takes to live in the world as a part of God's people. It was God's design. And there are two things, my friends, briefly I want to share with you with this design. How did we become a part of the body? Individually. Not simply the structure, but individually. How did we become? Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." The church, then seen as a living organism, came into existence when you and I, by faith and repentance, trusted Jesus Christ. At that moment, the Holy Spirit did some spiritual surgery, bringing us from one domain of our whole life and existence and placing us into an entirely new one. You may not have felt that you were moved, but in God's actions, my friends, you and I, by the Spirit, were placed into the body by an act of God's Spirit the moment we trusted Christ the Savior. Because of that, no matter where believers are found this morning, Denise in Pakistan is sitting with people who became a part of the body the exact same way she became a part of the body. There are people in Nigeria. There are people in South America, Central America. There are people who are different from us in so many different ways. But if they are a part of the body, they became a part of the body the exact way you and I became a part of the body. Therefore, the unity of the body is seen in its design. We are not kept together by some kind of human philosophy. We are kept together as a unit by a living person who has actually come to live in us, given us the sense of conviction of his presence in us. But there is diversity. There is diversity in the body. Look at verse 18. "But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desires." It is interesting, the word in the original means just as brings pleasure to him. God has placed each member in the body just as it brings pleasure to him. And perhaps, my friends, if we have failed as a church
it is that we have failed to say to you that everyone who is a part of the body of Christ has been gifted by Christ for the purpose of living for Christ. Everyone who has been placed by the Spirit into the body, God has endowed with all that is needed to live and to function as a body. I thought of this. This morning early, I was doing my religious survey. That is, I see what's... The earlier I get up, the earlier I want to see what kind of religious TV is going on. And so this morning I was up early, and I was watching one. And there was one, I mean, they were hooping it up. This very heavy set lady. I mean, she was very heavily set. And that's no criticism, I'm just saying, she was. But I'm going to tell you, she was moving with such agility that I felt almost embarrassed watching her. I can't move that fast. And she was having a wonderful time. And she had her head held back with the mic. And she was just going. My friends, that's a part of the body. And God has placed her and them just as it brings pleasure to Him, as He has placed you and me in the body as it brings pleasure to Him. I am not simply standing up here because it is something I passionately desire to do in the flesh. I would like to stand up and talk to people. It was never my desire. The first time I was asked to speak as a minister, I said, I am no speaker. I have never done it before, and I don't intend to start now. I did say that right to the minister that asked me. And then I discovered something wonderful, that once I was convinced that I belong to Christ and I can say a word for Him, others recognize God has gifted him, because no one had ever heard me speaking before. Just as it brought pleasure to Him before the foundation of the world, when God chose us in Jesus Christ, He gave us the necessary gifts that we might, as although different in so many different ways, that we might come together in unity based not upon the gifts He gives, but upon the Spirit who baptizes us. The church, my friends, by nature is a spiritual institution, not a physical one. When I first became a part of the missionary church back in the 1970s, it was quite interesting. I became a part of the missionary church at Banfield Memorial Church in Willowdale. And one thing that really troubled me when I first got into Banfield, you had to be careful how you spoke to anyone because everyone was related to somebody else. And then I went to Grace Church in Don Mills. And nobody was related to anybody. There was the Quances and the Legears. There was Jenny Haynes. I mean, all different. Not only different names. I want to say that that church was more colorful than Banfield. Nobody got that. I thought you would. Diversity. We were different, but my friends, what brought us together was the one sense that Jesus Christ died for me. I have received Him. He has put me into His body, and you are my brother and you are my sister. We are one in the bond of the Spirit. It's the design of God. And what God wants to do, He wants to put this diverse body of people before a watching world so that the world could see how the grace of God can break every barrier down, how the grace of God can bring people together so that they become people with one mind, with one passion, with one mission, and with one desire, and that is to glorify God and to serve Him. That's the design of the body. Unity and diversity. But my friends, it's not only the makeup of the body we were looking at. Look at the manager of the body. Nobody can exist without a head. That seems so obvious. Everybody needs a head. I would look very strange standing here trying to communicate to you without a head. In fact, I don't think you would come. It'd be scary. Probably scary with the head. But I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and 23. Talking about Christ being raised from the dead by the power of God. This is what we read. 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him, that is Christ, as head over all things to the church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Colossians 1:18. This is more direct. He is the head of the body, the church. He, Christ, is the head of the body. So that the church is not a monstrosity. The church is not some kind of a weird thing coming out of the mud somewhere. It really is connected. The parts are connected. And each part has been placed there. But how has this been done? It has been done, my friends, because God has chosen whom the head of the church would be. And the head of the church is not yours truly. I am not the head of this church. Pastor Blaine is not the head of this church. Phil Del Sol, who is the district superintendent, is not the head of this church. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. You see, the head is the executive center of all that will take place in the body. The head gives direction to the body as to what it should do. If I want to do anything, if I want to move here, somehow there is communication between my head and that part of my body that I want to move. He is the supreme chief, the prominent one. He is the one who actually moves the body in the direction the body should go. So that the church is not on some wild trip on earth. It is here being guided constantly, day and night. It is being constantly guided by the one Spirit. I find this so fascinating, and I have a feeling that I will not finish this today. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man. Think that through. Which has not entered into the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them, verse 10, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God. Listen, dear friends. How does the church operate through His head? The Spirit Himself, who brought the believer into the body and gave the believer what is needed for the believer to live as God wants him or her to live in that body. That same Spirit searches, in other words, knows the depth of God. And all that the church needs to know, all that it needs to do, the Spirit through the head communicates to the body. And how does the church know what it is supposed to do? There is communication between the head and the body. Things which have not entered into the hearts of man, God has revealed to the body through the Spirit. I don't know if that excites you, friends. It is possible for us to know what the brightest minds do not know on the face of the earth at this moment as I speak with you, because it has never entered their hearts. We do not need to look to the left or to the right to find out what direction we should take. We look up. For the Spirit reveals them to us. God wants the church to live as a body that is a healthy body because it is properly connected to the head. I think, my friends, that that should cause you and me to know some excitement as we have never known before. That we are not marking time with history. We can make history. Because it has not entered their minds. God can move again through His body to accomplish His purpose. His purpose not known to the world, for the world by wisdom did not know God, but God has revealed them to us. Wisdom to respond to the things of life. Grace to endure the trials of life. Insight to respond to the challenges of life. Courage to do the things that are needed in life. All those things God can and does reveal to the church through the Spirit. What are we to do, friends? What are we to do in the light of this? Do you know, I jokingly said about the face on the body. But you know, there's something very interesting. I was speaking with Dory over something, and I think it was their birthday. I won't reveal the age or anything. But Dory asked me, I think she said it was Eric and hers birthday, and they're 1 week apart. Is that correct? 1 week apart. And you are, and so we were talking, and I said to Dory, or she said to me, you are going to be 60 this year. I said, no, I am in my 50s. Brian Murphy is laughing because he knows that we are close together. And Brian is going to be 60 next year. And I said, I'm in my last year of the 50s. And Dory said, how I wish. I'm telling you that because of this, friends. You know, the older I get, and I'm not ancient, believe me, but I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the more difficult it is for my body to respond to my head. The more complacent we become as the body of Christ, the more difficult it becomes to respond to the head, who is Christ. We settle down, we settle in, and the head wants us to walk on water. And we say, but we have never walked on water before. And he said, but I am calling you to. We settle down and we settle in. And the head says, I want you to have a passion for souls. And the body says, I'm too tired for that. I go to work, and when I come home, I don't have time to think about lost souls. We settle down, we settle in, and the head says, I want you to write a letter to a member of the church to encourage them. And the body says, oh my, I don't, what will they think if I do this? They'll think I'm up to something. The older, my friends, we settle down in the body, the more difficult it becomes to respond to the head. And listen, in the design of God, God never meant for the body to control the head. He He always meant for the head to control the body. I will close now. I will close because I don't want to rush. My wife tells me whenever I get like this, I begin to rush and I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But I want you to pause with me, bow your heads, close your eyes, and ask yourself this question. The first question: have I ever been initiated by the Spirit into the body? In other words, have I ever accepted Christ as my Savior? Because that is the entrance point. If you have not done that, friends, you can this morning. You can by calling upon the Lord in repentance and faith. And if you want further instructions about that, we stand ready to respond to you. The second question: having been initiated into the body, am I using the gifts that God has given so that the body will do what the head wants it to do? I think that as a pastor, I need to ask your forgiveness for not emphasizing the giftedness of believers a lot more. God has gifted his body to do what he wants through the instruction of the head. And this morning, we want to begin that journey. We want to begin that journey. Since I am a part of the body, I will ask God to deliver me from being complacent so that I will function with excitement and enthusiasm as the head gives me direction. Grant it, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.